Good morning and welcome everybody at all of our sites. I want to say hello to everyone who's joined us online. And if you're our guest, special welcome to you. We're so happy that you've come. I'm so excited about these 3 weeks that we get to share together. Parenting is one of life's most tremendous joys and significant challenges all in one moment. It's a high calling and responsibility that's given to us by God. And from the beginning, the family has played a critical role in the fulfillment of God's purposes in and through this world through the nurturing and training of each generation. Parenting is a calling. And there's a big and. And the church is the family of God. We are all in on the endeavor of ensuring that the next generation is introduced to Jesus. And in the midst of that, there are so many roles. It begins by us having kids in our heart that we pray for them. Prayer matters. It might be grandma or grandpa or auntie or uncle or cousin, neighbor, teacher, coach, volunteer leader in kids or student ministry. From the beginning at Westwood, we've made kids a very big deal because kids are a big deal to God. And as we go forward into our future, in many ways, we're doubling down on that focus and commitment because God has a purpose. God has intention and a life-shaping, world-changing opportunity in every kid. And we're all a part of unfolding that with God's help. Kids is a series for parents and anyone with a vested interest in the next generation, which in the kingdom of God, that includes every single one of us. And today, raising kids has unique opportunities and a bunch of unique challenges. In our 3-week sermon series, we'll engage a few topics around all of those dynamics. Next week, Pastor Jill Fox, who leads our Next Gen ministry, will share a message on kids who serve. And the 3rd week in our sermon series, Pastor Joel will interview Dr. Tim Johansson, who co-authored a book called GIST, Raising Life-Ready Kids. And it's going to be a great 3-week run. Here's what I want to say in advance of anything that I have to say today. I am not a parenting expert. Level set the expectations. In many ways and on many days, I feel at best like I'm a novice, but I'm speaking today as one who's on the journey together. Because to raise and reach the next generation, we all have a role. And so this message is entitled, Kids, It Takes the Church. And if it would be helpful for you, I want to invite you to take out your teaching notes and you can download those online. Throughout this talk, what I want to do is bring some fundamental understanding to truly how, as the church, we are all arm in arm linked together for the purpose of reaching and raising the next generation, how kids play into that, how parents play into that, how the home plays into that, but bigger than that, how the church plays into that, because there are crucial understandings for us to gain. Some of these may be new, some of these may be things that you have embraced for a while, but we're all in. But here's the question that I want to invite you to ask today. And that is, what would God have for me, you? What would God have for me to understand about my role as it relates to raising and reaching the next generation? Let's start with kids. First, kids are gifts from God. Simply put, there's so much to celebrate about them. Courtney and I have two. We have a 9-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter. And regularly, almost every day, I find myself at some point saying, kids are just the best. Here's a few things that I've observed about them that make them celebration worthy. First, kids run everywhere. Have you ever noticed this? It doesn't matter the destination. They run everywhere. And the reason why is because life is far too exciting to get there slow. And for us in our home, we're learning how not to run in parking lots. We're still trying to master that one. Another thing is their joy. No matter when they laugh, how they laugh, and how frequently our kids laugh, regardless of whatever mood that we're in, brings a smile to our face. There's nothing like hearing the laughter of a child. The surprises that they invite us into. Like yesterday, we had one. Our son plays baseball, and they started their season yesterday. And yesterday, he had to play against his best friends on the other team. And they tied 3-3. And afterwards, they've got pretzels and candy that's as big as their face. And they ran over to us and they said, we tied. It's the best. And we're like, why? And they said, well, then nobody has to feel bad about losing. It's the greatest. Now, for some of you who have a competitive streak in you and think that's a little soft, that'll all change at the end of the year tournament. And it will for parents, too. Kids have an ability to adventure that we celebrate. I'm off most Fridays. And one Friday a few years ago, I was doing something in our bedroom and I didn't know it, but my kids snuck into the room behind me and I saw this. It's just the greatest. The costumes are a must in our house, but as they're getting older, those costumes are slowly disappearing. But the forts that they build from time to time, everything and every day is a brand new adventure. And lastly, noteworthy is their sense of wonder. This surprises me from time to time. A little over a year ago, we moved into a house that was new to us. And one morning, we were looking out the back window, and we have great sunrises in the home. Our back faces the east. And the sunrise that day was one of those high-definition, multicolored mornings that the world that God created was just putting on a show. And I was looking at it. My son woke up and stood next to me and looked out the window, and he just asked with wonder, "Daddy, how did Jesus do that?" And I said, "I don't know, buddy, but he sure said a lot about having a faith that looks a lot like yours." When we stop and think deeply about the way that kids live their life, it's no wonder why Jesus said you have to become like one. Because they live in a beautiful, captivating way because they're gifts from God. Now, I just want to ask that we pause for a little bit and just allow that statement to soak in a little deeper than we might be prone to. Your kids, the littles and the bigs, as they are today, not as they should be, not like we want them to be, right? But as they are today are a gift from God. And God has within them incredible potential and possibilities that we get to be on the front lines of unfolding. They're gifts to us as families. They're gifts to us as the church and here called Westwood. And they are gifts to the world because every one of them has a purpose to go out and to shine and to bring goodness into this world. The question is, do you see them that way? If you're anything like me, it's yes and. Because not every day is a low-hanging fruit day to see them as gifts from God. But they are. They're tremendous gifts of God. Psalm 127 calls us to God's heart for kids, that there's gifts, that they are gifts, but there's a little more that meets the eye. I want to read this for us. I want to start right in the middle. "Children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." Now, just a little bit of the background of the psalm. Solomon is the author, and therefore its backbone is wisdom. Solomon is described as the most wise person to live, and it sounds a lot like the other writings that he had, like in the book of Proverbs. And what this psalm emphasizes through the metaphor of the military warriors' arrows, and then also the legal metaphor, is that kids bring strength, and there's a legacy that emerges in and through them that when they're added will last longer than us, that will offer protection for them and us and the legacies that our families have. Kids are one of God's incredible blessings in life. Yet there's a little more that meets the eye in this psalm. And on the surface, what it appears to be is that verses 1 and 2 are disconnected from 3 through 5. But the form that Solomon writes in is poetry. And so in an abstract, metaphorical way, they're connected through the vision of a household. Let's read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." Now, just real quick at the end there, parents of young kids, "for he grants sleep to those he loves," lest that verse torture you a little bit. That can also be translated as God provides for us when we sleep. That's the tenor of that statement. Now, I think in the middle of a lot of different ways to read that, this psalm is calling us towards, I think, two critical understandings. The first of which is this: kids are gifts from God, and we're called to see them that way. Not only now, but into the future that God intends, into every chapter of their life. And then secondly, to trust God, to allow him to build who we become through us, now and into the future as God intends, our families and our homes around God's best. I know for a fact, as it relates to my parenting in our house, God just builds better than I do. And yet I know the promise is that he'll do that through me, even in my frailty and my imperfection, and that's true for all of us. And that reality changes the way that I think we see our roles. As a parent, there's a lot of roles that you have. At the same moment, you are a comforter, cook, and chauffeur. You are a coach along the way. You might be a provider of activities, football, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf. You're also one from time to time, like I did last night, where you step on Legos in the middle of the night. That's a fun experience. But later in life, as your kids emerge into adulthood, you become more of a life coach, potentially a financial advisor, and maybe more of a trusted friend than a hands-on parent. Our roles change, and there's a lot of different ways that we define ourselves and we see ourselves, but there is one that's paramount to them all, that they all nest under. And here it is, parents, we are stewards of eternal beings. We're stewards of eternal beings, and God calls us to own our stewardship with diligence. Just like any gift that he gives, the call is to stewardship, which is the management and the cultivation of that gift in a direction, and the gift is in the direction of God's best, knowing that ultimately that rests in God. That rests in God. Our kids belong to him first. We'll live eternally. Our kids will live eternally. And our kids are eternal beings who are seen, loved, and cherished by God right now. And so are you. And so am I. Andre Nolan said, I am not what I have. I'm not what I do. I'm not what people say or think of me. Rather, I am a beloved child of the Most High God. And nothing can ever change that. Kids have lots of roles. Kids have lots of identities that they absorb and also have others project on them, which sometimes are good and other times are negative. But there is one identity and one role that they carry and we carry. We are all God's kids. And he loves us so deeply, we'll spend this entire life exploring the depth and the fathoms of his love. And this is both a challenge and a reminder to stewardship. The challenge is to own our stewardship of our kids each day. And that applies to every season of every life that we have. And it's also a reminder that God is with us in it all. And I want to share some reminders of God's grace in just a few moments. But the call is for us to own it, to say, I am a steward of an eternal being, and to own that. Kids are gifts from God. Parents are stewards of eternal beings. And the home is the center of spiritual growth. And our call every day is to cultivate our home's spiritual tone regularly. Now, I think that if you're a parent of any stage along the journey, I think there's an urgency that God would want you to accept this and own it and embrace it. And what I want to do is I want to lay out the case for why. I want to remind us of the grace that God gives us, and then share just an idea and then a couple resources for how we can explore this, whatever season that we're in. Here's the case. When our kids are born, they have 936 weeks in our homes before they hit age 18 and in most cases emerge into adulthood. Now, if you're a brand new parent, that might seem like a really long time. Those days, man, I remember that the exhaustion can be oppressive. When Hadley, our secondborn, came home from the hospital the day after we all got home, I took a nap at the same time as my son Everett, who was just south of 3 years old at that point. And when he woke up, he came bursting into our room and he said, Daddy, let's play baseball. And I'm sleeping. And it was just existential. I said, buddy, I can't see right now. I need coffee. And he freaked out. He went to find Courtney. He's like, Mommy, Dad needs help. He can't see. He told me he needs coffee. Bring it quick. That's just one funny moment of just that time. And honestly, I think if I were candid, what the experience was I'd hear from people, man, those days go by so fast, but I didn't want to hear it at that point because I was so tired. But the old adage, the days go by slow and the years fly by, is stunningly true. This last December, Everett hit 9 years old. Yeah. And I made a realization that the same amount of time that took us to get here is the same amount of time that remains with us in our home with him. And that rattled me. And it still does. And it's calling me to own this. How did we get to 9 where we have 482 weeks left? And 6 where we have 632 weeks left. I want to say this. Counting those weeks, and recognizing and remembering how fast it goes by is not something that we do to create undue anxiety, okay? It's also, I want to say this clearly, it is also not something that we do to create shame for what we've not done yet. That's not God's intention. Rather, God desires that we count our days that we have so that we can seize the future of possibilities now. Not just for now, but in everything that's to come. I want to say this as a parent, but I also want to say this as a former student ministry pastor that worked with kids for over 10 years. As parents, you and I cannot leave the spiritual future of our children to chance. Not today. And as parents, we cannot outsource it to anybody else. We can have support casts around us, and we do. That's what God calls us to in the vision of the church. But as parents, we have to seize the opportunities that we have, channeling God's grace to be with it in us, to be with us in it all. And what is God's grace? God's grace says to us so many things, and I want to just share four today as parents. First of all, God's grace says to you and to me, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start. Even if you have kids that are grown and are outside of your house, it's never too late to start cultivating the spiritual tenor of your family. The second thing that God's grace says is every day is a brand new start. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I needed that this past week, two times that I know of. I got barky. You ever get barky as a parent? Nobody's listening. You need to go. You're late. And you start barking. After those moments, 5 minutes later, I realized, oh man, that's not who I want to be. And I just remembered, I get a new start. And so I apologized to my kids and we move forward together. Every day's a new start. It's never too late. Every day's a new start. Thirdly, you and I have everything that we need in Jesus to be faithful parents. We do. We have everything that we need. Doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. In fact, we're not. It doesn't mean that we're always going to know what to do in the immediacy of every situation. But what 2 Peter 1:3 says is his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. I know as a parent, there are unending moments where I wonder, what do I do now? But God's with us in that. He's given us everything that we need to live a character that would last for all of eternity. And then fourth, Jesus holds it all together. I believe that there are people who are listening to this right now who desperately need to be reminded of that. Jesus holds it all together. Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You might be a parent where those weeks left in your house are numbered in a very small way and you're about to send them off. Jesus holds together your releasing of them. You may be a parent of a young adult or an adult whose life has become something that you never envisioned for them to be. And I want to remind you, Jesus holds that together. They hold them together. You might also be in a season of waiting. Perhaps you're waiting for kids. In a way that only Jesus can, allow him to speak to you and say, he holds you and your waiting together. He holds it all together, and the call is to trust him. Every day is a new start. You've got all you need, and Jesus holds it all together. So thirdly, how? How do we do this? And again, I'm not an expert, and I don't have time to go through all of this, but I just want to read a text to you that gives us a little clue. It's Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. It says, these commandments that I give to you today are to be in your hearts. God speaking to his people here. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And when I read that, I think about that old adage that more is caught than taught. But I want to reframe it and say it seems like what God is sharing to us is that what God intends for our kids is both caught and taught. That we must model a faith, but we must also intentionally teach and cultivate an environment where our kids are introduced to God, knowing that ultimately they need to choose a life with God. And God holds them all together. So just one simple idea, and then I want to introduce you to two resources, perhaps, if you're not aware of them. The first of which is this: the most life-transforming thing that followers of Jesus can do to be changed and to become more like Jesus, to be and live like Jesus, is to regularly read and apply God's word in every age of our lives. And if that's true, then what we can do is on a regular basis, through small attempts, to read the scriptures with our kids and to pray with and for them. And here's what I want to just remind us of. Don't underestimate the power of small starts, and don't underestimate the potency of the clumsy. And here's why I say that. I was talking to a dad of three little kids, littles, in their house. And I asked him, I said, what do you guys do to just kind of cultivate the spiritual tone of your home? And he said, every morning we have morning prayer as a family. And I'm like, tell me how that looks. And he went on to describe the scene at breakfast. All the kids' shirts are off, and there's yogurt in their hair. There's Cheerios all over the floor. They're praying. Two or three of them run away at any given moment during these devotional moments with our family. And the beauty of it is they're still keeping at it. They're going at it. They're faithful and they're consistent. I think as a parent, secondly, there are moments that we can seize that are teachable. I've told this story before, but a few years ago, I was walking back from the bus stop with Hadley, our daughter, after we dropped off our son at the bus before she was starting to go to school. And it was one of those beautiful moments with an incredible sunrise. And I thought, okay, here's a moment, Brian, to cultivate the spiritual tone of our home. So I stopped her and I looked and I said, honey, isn't it amazing how God created this world to be so beautiful that you can look at and think, wow. And then I said, Psalm 119 says, and she stopped me and she interrupted me and she goes, Daddy, you have a huge mole on your face. And I thought, well, for some reason, she just needed to remind me of what I've known for more than 30 years of my life, that I just have a mole. Sometimes it's clumsy, but it's worth it. It's worth it to keep at it. God moves. Regularly read and apply God's word and pray with and for your kids. Two resources I want to introduce, potentially reintroduce to you. The first is called Parent Q. Parent Q is an organization that we're partnered with here at Westwood. There's a curriculum that we call Orange because red is the church, red is the home, yellow is the church. When you combine those, it's orange. And their intention is to equip us as parents to live faith in our homes. Parent Q is part of the organization that's behind that. They have an app for your devices. And parents of kids under the age of 18, if you don't have it yet, I'd encourage you to get it, because our next gen team is customizing our experience with that app so that we can know what they're learning downstairs right now and have questions to engage with them. And you can see the videos that they've been introduced to during the time that they've been with our kids in our student ministry. Download that. In addition to that, they have a blog and a podcast that addresses all kinds of parenting topics. And they have multiple awesome resources and books that address birth all the way through parenting adults into those phases. Check out Parent Q. The next is an organization that's local. Jim and Lynn Jackson lead it. It's called Connected Families. And Jim and Lynn are a part of Westwood, and we're really grateful for their influence over us. And personally, as a dad, I've been really influenced by Jim and Lynn. They have a weekly newsletter that goes out, and they also offer online courses, one of which is called Discipline That Connects. If you're struggling with how to learn how to discipline your children as you're kind of raising them up, they offer incredible godly wisdom on how to do that well. And you can find out more information there on the website. And then lastly, our next gen team, they're awesome individuals who've been gifted by God to reach kids and students, but not just that, to help equip us. And if you're ever in need at any campus to have our team walk alongside you, don't hesitate to reach out. Kids are gifts. Parents are stewards of eternal beings. The home is the center of spiritual growth. But the church is the family of God to help faith stick. Here's what I want to emphasize. The home is the center of spiritual growth, but it's not enough on its own. There's a support cast needed that God has intended us for. We need the church. The Fuller Youth Institute published a book a few years ago called Sticky Faith, in which they researched what are the factors, determining factors, that help faith stick into adulthood in kids that grow up in the church. They identified a handful of them, and amongst one of the most powerful was whether or not kids had five meaningful relationships with adults who follow Jesus who were not us as parents. And that comes about in a lot of ways. That could be a youth leader, that could be a coach, that could be a neighbor, a friend, whatever it might be. That could be a grandma, a grandpa investing into the life of your grandchildren, an aunt, an uncle, a coach. These relationships help to make sure that faith sticks. I think a tangible, practical next step for you to lean into community here is to get into a group if you're not in one. There's multiple groups of all kinds of different shapes and sizes that exist at every one of our campuses. I know of multiple groups of parents who are linking arms together to try to figure out how to do this parenting thing well. And while they're doing that, their kids are building friendships that cross school barriers and boundaries that are awesome. If you want to get into a group, you can find more at the info spot. The other thing that I wonder about, there's a few groups like this, but I wonder if we're going to be a multi-generational church, which Westwood is, and it's beautiful. I wonder if there are some of you here who are listening to this who are empty nesters and you've been parenting. Your kids are adults. You have wisdom that I need. And you have wisdom that we need as we're following your footsteps. And maybe you've been prompted on this for a while, maybe not. Maybe today's the first introduction to it. And I want to encourage you, if you're that, I believe, you know, that old Field of Dreams adage, if you build it, they'll come. We will. So if God is prompting you, you can stop by the info spot. You can start a group at any point. It's a little box, a kit to start a group called the Better Together box. You open it up, find some friends, and get started. It's awesome. Pick one up at the info spot at all of our campuses. Now, I've been thinking a lot about this, obviously, over the last few weeks, but one of the reasons why I've been thinking about my own parenting and how what kind of dad I am to my two is because a couple weeks ago, our kids left Courtney and I alone, rare. And they were in their bedrooms working on something, and it was one of those quiet moments where we were like, what is going on right now? Because you know when it gets quiet, you don't really know what's happening. But about 20 minutes later, both Hadley and Everett emerged out of their bedrooms, and they had something in their hands for us that they'd made. They'd made these little bead bracelets. And on Courtney's bead bracelet, it said, "Best Mom Ever." And on my bead bracelet, it said, "Best Dad Ever." And I can't describe to you what a gift that was, but what a reminder it was, because I know I'm not the best dad all the time. I'm not perfect. I have moments of frustration that boil over more than I want. I don't always model a transformative relationship with Jesus. And I'm not always cultivating the tenor of our spiritual, the spiritual tenor of our household and our home as we lead together, Courtney and I. But what this is giving me is a target to aim at. Because I want to be the best dad that I can for those two. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ in every facet of our lives says that you are becoming something more beautiful than you can imagine. And the gospel of Jesus Christ declares that who you are today has got nothing on who you're going to become. As a parent, as an investor, as a kid, as whatever it might be into this next generation. And all Jesus says is, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll show you how to do it." And so that's what we're gonna do in these moments as we close. We're gonna ask for God's help. We're gonna link our arms together as a church so that we can reach and raise the next generation. And as parents, we are going to declare, "Jesus, we need you, and we need you as our bread of life." So would you stand with me? And I'd like to lead us in prayer as we close and sing together. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for the gift of every day and the gift of life. We have breath in our lungs. We are here, we are listening, and you are with us. Your promises are so true and powerful and profound. And I pray that in a way that each of us need it, that in these moments that we share, in these moments that we sing, that you would speak to our hearts about what it looks like to trust in you and depend on you. Father, together as one of them as well, I lift up all of our parents who are here at any stage. Jesus, I ask that you would renew them, that you would refresh them, that you would give them a captivating vision that's specific to their kids and their home. And I pray that we would be able to seize the opportunity in the voice that you give us all the time to bless our kids. We pray, Lord, for our faith community, that in whatever way that it manifests itself, that we would be faithful to your calling to reach and raise the next generation. And I pray for our kids, our church's kids, and the kids that are in this community and around the world that we can influence together. Lord, may you use us to bring your kingdom. May your kingdom come, may your will be done. And as it relates to our journeys, in whatever way that it means for each of us, may you give us this day our daily bread. That's our prayer. That's our desire. We look to you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for giving us new life. In Jesus' name, amen.